everybody. I'm back. It is Karen Hartglass, and it's time for the second part of It's All About Food here on the 13th of May, 2014. And before we get to the main part of the second part of this program, I want to direct you to my nonprofit website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. On the lower right-hand side of the website, I've added a couple of things. One is, if you remember, I think it was a month or two ago when we had Mississippi College professor Elizabeth Brandon and her student Bilal Kizilbich talking about kale research. Well, we now have a kale research update subscription. You could go to our website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, go to the bottom right-hand side and sign up. And anytime there's an update on their wonderful kale research, you will hear about it first. So you can visit that. And then the other thing I just added is, you know, we've got hundreds of delicious vegan recipes on our website, right? Well, I've compiled my personal favorites, the ones that we make over and over again in our family. And if you go, again, to the homepage, right-hand side, you'll see real favorites, and that's a list of all of our favorite, our real favorite recipes. Just so you know, you might want to try some of those if you haven't already. And all we want to do is make this world a beautiful, delicious place with healthy, plant-based food. But some people make it hard and difficult. And we're going to now talk to Keegan Kuhn and Kip Anderson, the co-directors of a new documentary, Cowspiracy. Welcome to It's All About Food, Keegan and Kip.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Okay, now how am I going to know the difference between Keegan and Kip? Keegan, say hello.
Hello, this is Keegan.
And Kip, say hello.
Hello, this is Kip.
Okay. I think Kip is a little higher pitched, maybe. We'll see what happens. But you both sound great. You look great on the website. Let's hear about this film. It's scary.
Yeah, it's a big film. It's a big big scary issue. The film is an environmental documentary following my co-director Kip Anderson on a journey finding out what is the leading cause of environmental destruction around the world. And the truth is that it's animal agriculture, raising animals for food. And so we go to the world's largest environmental organizations, because if animal agriculture is really responsible for the leading cause of rainforest destruction, water pollution, ocean dead zones, topsoil erosion, and virtually every other environmental degradation happening, why wouldn't the world's largest environmental organizations be talking about it? So we pose a question to them, and the responses that we get are, if it wasn't such a deadly serious issue, they'd be very funny.
Well, we've been saying this for a long time, that why aren't the major environmental organizations talking about animal agribusiness? And one of the reasons I thought was just because they all like meat and they don't want to give it up. But I think we're going to learn through this film it's bigger than that.
Yep, that's definitely part of the reasons, internal habits within their own offices, all the way up to the very executive directors of many of these. That's a big part. And then it also, a huge part, is that they are businesses, and what, you know, what's their priority? Is the priority making a profit or saving the planet? And that's where the kind of blurred lines that we explore in the film.
Now, you've implied in the trailer that you had some funding that was taken away.
Yes, we had some funding. It's definitely a bit of a controversial subject, and we did have some funding dropped. They don't want to be mentioned who they are. It's part of the reason why they wanted to be dropped, but we basically had to finance this 100% on our own. That's why we started an Indiegogo campaign to get the funding so we can release this property so everybody can see it.
And, okay, we can't give away everything that's in the film, obviously, but were you surprised with some of the things you learned, or was everything the way you expected it to be?
Oh, no, absolutely surprised. And I think that's the thing that, you know, we've done some small test runs of all walks of life have seen this, and even people who think they're very well informed on this subject are blown away. Things that you just can't believe about wildlife and, you know, things ocean dead zones, and we have a big section on the ocean. And then just about the nonprofits, when we go visit them, you know, it's shocking yet humorous, the reactions. And so it's a fun journey no matter where you are on the scale of education on this subject. It's a real entertaining and educational journey.
Okay, I don't want to pick on any organization in particular, but I was remembering a few times I would visit the Rainforest Action Network, just as an example. And I remember years ago that they had some campaigns against animal agriculture because it was affecting the forest, the rainforest, and they were talking about destroying forests to grow soy to feed animals and also the destruction of forests to graze animals. And I noticed that the focus changed to palm oil. And I had to dig to find some old material on the animals.
That was a big, you know, again, almost comical if it wasn't so serious. In particular, Rainforest Action Network, there's a couple that definitely stand out. That, yeah, we will go into the destruction that palm causes on rainforest and where, but then we a lot of this documentary focuses on comparisons. You know, mm-hmm. we acknowledge fracking is a huge issue. We acknowledge palm is, but then we compare it to animal agriculture, and there's just absolutely, you know, virtually almost no comparison. And then you start talking and addressing this to these people like Rainforest Action Network, and they just simply do not want to talk about it.
Sorry to interrupt. But, you know, when we look at the numbers for, you know, palm oil, which it is, you know, it's incredibly destructive what it's doing to Indonesian rainforests. I mean, the devastation is undeniable. But when we look at that globally, palm oil is responsible for about 26 million acres of rainforest cleared every year. But if you compare that, or actually today, I'm sorry, 26 million acres, but then you compare that to animal agriculture, and we're looking at 136 million acres. And so, you know, we've got this astronomical impact to our rainforests, which are, you know, the planet's lungs. They produce about half the planet's oxygen, that are being destroyed for cattle and to grow their feed crops. And yet all we hear about from the rainforest groups is palm oil.
Right. And just a little bit more on palm oil. What are the main uses for palm oil?
So palm oil, you know, are used, or if you pay attention to anything that these groups are going to be saying, palm oil is used in snack foods. But a huge part of where palm oil goes is actually for animal feed crops.
And, you know, right.
Large percentage is fed to livestock.
Yeah. I thought I was leading to that answer. And it's really an important point, because a lot of times I read these really angry posts and articles on palm oil that are targeted towards vegans, because we happen to have our vegan butter, like Earth Balance products that are made with palm oil. And Earth Balance, just one little company, is really trying to please its customer base and working towards sustainable palm and all of that. But it's really, the focus is in the wrong place.
Yeah,
definitely. It's the same thing. A lot of people, especially who don't have much knowledge on the subject, they do the same thing with soy. They say, oh, you know, these vegetarians eating all this soy, that's what's causing the rainforest. Like,
when 90% of the Brazilian soy is fed to livestock, and livestock mostly in Europe, actually.
Right. Whew. Okay. So now you have an Indiegogo project, and you met your goal, and now you've stretched your goal. What can people expect, and what would you like people to do?
Well, we would love for people to continue to support the campaign. We reached our initial goal of $54,000 in 6 days, which was just phenomenal. We couldn't have imagined there would have been such an outpouring of support. But we realized with more money, you know, we can reach more people, and we can actually do more with the film. So we created a stretch goal of $108,000. Right now we're at about $85,000, which, again, is just phenomenal. We have about 22 days left on the campaign. And if we can reach that $108,000 goal, we'll be able to translate the film into 10 or more languages. We want to create a dubbed version in German, Spanish, and potentially Mandarin. We want to make the film, you know, just as accessible as possible. And so part of that, too, is creating a 50-minute educational edit of the film, which educators around the world from elementary school to universities can use to educate students about the impact of this industry. So that edit will be you know, it'll be shorter, it'll be more concise, it'll have some new animations and graphs in it, just so that it's less of a story and more of just the facts. And that, hopefully, again, if we can reach our goal, will also come with, like, a lesson plan, and, again, just to make it as accessible as possible.
All right. You made it sound in the trailer that people don't want this information to get out. So when the film does come out and when your educational version comes out, is there going to be trouble?
No, we get asked that question a lot. Our goal with this is to – people are going to be inspired. People – you know, when you find out something, you find out the truth. Sure, you might be initially shocked and a little bit scared, but it supersedes it by just being inspired of things that we have to do right now. And a big part of the film that was really important when we were making this is that the end ends on a very positive, all solution-based, we can do this, and real actions, real companies that are doing things, transforming the planet as we speak today, like big time, funded by, you know, people like Bill Gates and big funders, and we explore
beyond meat and beyond eggs.
Yeah. So all these new companies, you know, sprouting out and thriving, and so it's basically, you know, jumping on to something that's already happened, or you're going to be left behind as well as the planet. So I like to think it was more inspiring than
right now. You say that you have some actions and solutions at the end of the film, and we know that there are some businesses that are doing incredible things. I love the message behind Beyond Meat and Beyond Eggs, because they're creating the same products. They're just removing the animal from the equation, which is genius, and it's cheaper using plant-based ingredients. What other solutions are out there? Not that I want to give away the ending of your film.
You know, we focus on a couple different options and different things that people can do on a personal level. And then, you know, after the film comes out, we'll see what these organizations do and how they respond to it. And especially a call to action involving how we get these large environmental organizations to start addressing it. But that'll be we'll see how things play out with the release of the film.
Well, you know, it all comes down to money, unfortunately. And these organizations don't want to bite off the hand that feeds them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. What happened, you know, with Blackfish in such a quick amount of time, it does come down to money. And with this, you know, we were saying not only making a movie, but it's starting a movement that they can be successful. These nonprofits can be successful. They'll get a lot of support by doing these things of, you know, switching focus to things that are really, really important. And they can be successful.
Yeah, the thing is too, though, is that, you know, these organizations, their focus, if you look at their mission statements, is about helping the planet. So it has to, first and foremost, whether it's a popular opinion or not, you know, we need to be addressing animal agriculture. And, you know, to go after these massive industries like, you know, the fossil fuel industry, and, you know, try and put regulations on them, like, you know, that's all very important. It's absolutely essential that we get control over, you know, the fossil fuel industry. But let's look at what we all can do today on a personal level, and regardless of how, you know, sensitive of a topic it is or how unpopular of a topic it is, it absolutely needs to be addressed.
Well, sometimes it just seems so impossible. You know, when we have the Koch brothers wanting to support coal and mining and squash the solar industry by putting some exorbitant taxes on them, it just it all comes down to money, and it seems so hard. But there are little pockets of hope everywhere, and I hope Cowspiracy really makes a big change. Now, you guys are young. When did you get the message? When did you get this vision of how to make the world a better place?
Well, it happened a few years ago, and really just a simple Google. Well, it first started with a Facebook post, and that's what's fun about the movie. It kind of follows my journey of really what happened. And saw a post about the Long Shadow Report in 2006.
Yeah.
And I found that I was blown away, because I thought at that time, you know, I thought I was doing everything, you know, riding my bike and, you know, hours, yada, yada. And then once I found this out, I really explored this, and the thing was, is that it was an easy Google search. This wasn't like, you know, some, you know, detective sleuth. It kind of popped up quite quickly, and I just was blown away one thing after another, and I said, wow, if this really is true and not some propaganda, then these environmental groups that I've supported my whole life, Greenpeace, Sierra Club, they must be screaming about this. And then I went on their websites, and I was shocked there was nothing. And then that's kind of when it started. I started emailing them, calling them, like, what's going on? And then they just would not reply to me. You know, if I want to give money, sure, they'll talk to me, but they would not talk. And then eventually teamed up with Keegan and with a camera, and eventually kind of just have to knock on their door and go in person, because it was did not want to talk about it. So our foot in the door, it's a film about sustainability, which it is. And they'll talk about that all day, but once you start mentioning animal agriculture, then it gets a little funny.
And, you know, I was very excited when that Livestock Long Shadow report came out in 2006, as were many, many other people, because it was the first time that animal agribusiness kind of was seen for what it was, something that was a big polluter and affected our climate in a negative way. But unfortunately, the people that make those reports have changed their tune quite a bit since people jumped on that one statistic that 18% of human-induced greenhouse gas emissions are caused by animal agriculture. And they've dropped that number in more recent reports to 4.5%. I was recently on a panel with Frank Mittenlohner, who is a professor at UC Davis, and he's been working with the Food and Agriculture Organization on this, and he is a big believer of animal agriculture intensification, talks about how efficient we are here in the United States and how we're doing such a great job using far less water and putting out less greenhouse gas emissions making cattle than the rest of the world, and the rest of the world needs to learn to do what we're doing. The government's behind them, and it is scary.
Yeah, you know, we actually interviewed Animal Agriculture Alliance, and I believe Frank sits on their board.
Mm-hmm.
Largest animal agriculture lobby groups in the country. And we asked them about that, you know, about these studies and these statistics and about efficiency. And, you know, the truth is that if you want to raise animals, the most ecological and efficient way to do it is in extreme confinement. Pack
right.
as many animals as you can into as tight a spot as possible, restrict their movement, you know, prevent them from burning excess calories, and you'll be able to, conserve as much resources as possible. Clearly, that's not beneficial for the animals. You know, it's if you care about animal welfare issues at all, it's extremely detrimental. So it basically leaves you with one option.
Plants.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about the film, too, is, you know, we cover the whole spectrum. So we get into the whole grass-fed. We get into the organic, and there's some surprising results of a lot of these foodies and people who think they're doing the right thing, and in fact, maybe for the animals, but for the environment, it's actually the opposite. It's just, you know, it's a loose situation.
People don't realize that grass-fed, quote, humane, unquote, raising of animals for food is not good for the environment. It's worse for the environment than animal intensification, and the only choice for all the reasons is raising plants to feed people directly. It's so obvious. Oh. Okay, so where do you guys live?
We're in the San Francisco area, Berkeley, San Francisco.
Okay, lots of good eating there.
Yes, there is. We're fortunate, very fortunate.
Very fortunate. What are some of your favorites?
Favorite restaurants?
Yeah. I'm turning the tide here. I want to lighten things up. I'm getting a little too depressed.
Some awesome stuff. And they all do, that's what's so great. They do so well. Like Cafe Gratitude, Gracias Madre, Source. And there's only a few in L.A. There's way more than San Francisco, which is
Yeah, I heard L.A. has taken over New York City, which I always believe was a vegan kingdom here in New York City.
Yeah. And it's weird because the Bay Area is not very thrive. I mean, you can get it's easy, but nothing like L.A. or New York.
Yeah.
But what you see is it's just so funny. That's kind of, you know, we're exploring is how successful these restaurants do. I mean, you can't even get, I don't know if you've heard of Gracias Madre. It's all vegan, organic.
It's always packed.
Mexican restaurant, yeah. And when they started, it took a couple months, but now you can't get in at all. And there can't be enough of these hip, you know, plant-based restaurants to
right.
keep.
Right. Veggie Grill is doing great.
That's it. And, I mean, there's a local company, Cinnaholic, which is all-vegan cinnamon roll company, and they've just done phenomenally well. They're based here in Berkeley, and they just started franchising. So, I mean, these are growing businesses, and these are real, like, you know, business models where people are getting into this not just because of, you know, the environmental or the animal or, you know, health benefits, but because it makes good business sense. And that's why you see people like Bill Gates and Biz Stone who are, you know, Biz Stone, he's actually vegan, but, you know, someone like Bill Gates who's getting involved in plant-based companies because it makes sense from a business point of view.
Yes, now I just have to interject here. I personally promote a healthy, plant-based, whole, minimally processed diet, which is ideal for health. And if people want to junk food themselves out, it's entirely their choice. But if they're going to do it, it should be from a compassionate point of view and from an environmentally sustainable point of view. You know, if you want to sugar yourself out and fat yourself out and white flour yourself out, go for it. But companies like Cinnaholic are the way to do it.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, I'm gonna stick with kale salad.
That's what's exciting. You know, it can be depressing, you know, especially when we're going all this research with the film. But we're actually to walk away feeling really inspired. Like, it just feels like this whole shift in evolution, whatever you want to call it. It's already happened. It really has, and it's so fun to see. And I believe it's happening at an exponentially, like, quantum fast rate. It really is. So that's what a big takeaway from all of this. Just every day you see something new pop out in the store, new restaurant opening, new things on the news. So it's exciting times.
Now, did you primarily focus on environmental organizations in this film? Did you talk to any people who were raising animals?
Yes, we did. We don't explore everything. We went to an organic dairy farm.
Mm.
Went to one of the nicest, most beautiful grass-fed beef down here on the coast. We're fortunate. Farms are right here in the Bay Area. So we explored every part and deeply. So we wanted to leave no stone unturned. So we did visit these places and.
You know, all the way down to, backyard animal husbandry.
Now, I know a lot of information is available online. We're flooded with information, and if you really want to learn about how animals are raised, everything is online, and some of it is really scary. I was just recently looking about how sperm is collected from bulls and how cows are artificially inseminated. It's frightening. It's almost pornographic. It's obscene. I can't believe these people do it. When you think about how animals are raised, every step of the way, somebody had to figure these things out, and they're working towards making them more efficient. And when you see each step, it is profoundly creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, I said earlier, it all comes down to money. And, you know, how do you make something as efficiently as possible? And if your concern is that bottom dollar, then you can let everything else, fall by the wayside, whether that's ethics or, environmental degradation or health or, workers' safety, anything. If you're concerned about making money, then that's all you're going to focus on.
Now, do your actions and solutions, any of them include what these farmers and ranchers can do if they don't raise animals?
Somewhat, yeah. We explore different types of farming, veganic farming.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was funny,
yeah.
When I was on that panel with Frank Mitlohner, he didn't seem to know anything about veganic agriculture, was surprised to hear you could grow plants without animal manure.
Well, and it's funny, too, when I hear people say, if the animal agriculture industry falls apart, there's going to be so many jobs lost. It's like, to actually go back so we don't have to have these GMO industrial farms, because we have GMOs to feed these millions and millions of animals. Going back to, this really grassroots level of organic farming, veganic farming, and it creates tons of jobs, rather than these huge, huge, industrial farming pesticide compounds that only produce a few jobs. So I feel it actually will produce, the economy will be stimulated by this shift.
Well, it's all a shift, and part of the shift is efficiency is not necessarily the only parameter and is not necessarily the best goal. We could be a little less efficient, gentler on the planet, have more jobs for people, everybody's happier, we're not treating the animals horrifically, We just need a little shift. And Cowspiracy is going to get us there.
Thanks. That's our hope. That's our plan. You know, we first and foremost need to get people informed. They have to be aware of the situation. And, you know, for the most part, many people in our society aren't aware of this at all. If you ask them, you know, what causes more climate change, you know, cars and trucks and boats and planes or cows, they're going to tell you cars, trucks, boats, and planes. But, you know, in fact, the livestock industry is responsible for more greenhouse gases than the transportation sector.
Well, whether those numbers are true or not, and I've read a lot of science, and it's really complicated and very confusing. One thing is clear. The energy infrastructure we have today is not sustainable and absolutely needs to change, and the problem is it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money. And in order to have a cushion and be able to get there without having some crazy tipping point where the world heats up and the game's over, animal agriculture has to go away. That will mitigate climate warming.
And it's very important as a, you know, as a personal level too, is to demand, whether emails, you know, or calls or whatever, to demand that these environmental groups, you know, it's not the animal agriculture industry, they're not going to be the ones that change. It's
mm-hmm.
the ones that are accountable that are, you know, doing the change, that they have the manpower, they have, you know, they have the actions and the practice of creating huge social change, to demand that these, the Greenpeace and the Sierra Clubs and Rainforest Action Network, they address the situation immediately.
Okay, we've got just a few seconds, so tell me when the movie's coming out and where can we find out more about it?
They can find out more information on Cowspiracy.com. Definitely want people to go there and check it out. And then we will be releasing the film, premiering it in San Francisco on June 19th, and then we'll be followed up by premieres all around the country. We'll be touring throughout the summer and then internationally as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for telling me about Cowspiracy, for creating it and having the courage to do so. Keegan and Kip, all the best to you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, that's been another It's All About Food show. Thank you for joining me, and have a delicious week.